Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be finishing up our winter concert series with three pieces that we have deemed to be more difficult in nature. And those are Ukrainian Bell Carol, arranged by Richard Saucedo, Jingle Bells, arranged by Jay Dawson, and Toboggan by Gerard Hall. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This setting of Ukrainian Bell Carol by Saucedo is absolutely awesome. It's way full of energy. It's about 2.5 minutes long. It's in the key of E flat, 3/4 throughout. You do have to have pretty strong brass, trumpets and horns especially, in this one because of the range demands and the articulation and style demands for those sections. This reminds me very much, it has like a Trans-Siberian Orchestra Mannheim Steamroller kind of vibe to it, and it's high energy. Kids will love to play it, and it will be a huge crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it's super fun. And it, again, as Laura mentioned, it's very like festive and strong. You have to have really good articulation because it goes super quick. You could play it almost in one if you needed to, just for the feel. But it's just like any other arrangement of Bell Carol. It's very Saucedo as well, with the brass articulation rhythms at the beginning. Then it has at measure not like a big introduction at 9. We're going to have this like waterfall starting with the lows and then mids and then highs come in. So it's just starting the Carol of the Bells theme, getting going.
All the percussion is really important through this. The bells are super important. They have kind of some feature moments, and timpani is really important. Timpani has several
big
solos.
Timpani solo at 17. Yes. All alone. And then we get into the normal Carol of the Bells theme with the upper woodwinds with just some like interjections in the brass. At 27, the horns and altos get that famous 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1. 2, 3, 1. Yeah, sorry. 2, 3, 1. Yeah, so they have their little flowing line over everybody else still playing the same thing that they had before. We get a little trumpet 2 action followed by trumpet 1. Trumpet 1s go all the way up to a G. So again, the range demands are pretty high in this piece.
At 35, this lays very easy in the fingers, the 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2, and 3, and 1. But this is a softer section. Fingers need to move together. Dotted quarter notes need to be tongued firmly. We have thinned out percussion, of course, and brass in this section as well, except for the low voices do. Tubas like get their little moment of where they get the melody for a 4-bar phrase before we get over to measure 43. This is all the chromaticism part, and it goes so fast. You just want to make sure that the kids' fingers are laying very evenly. And then it also kind of descends so that in addition to the 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2, 3, 1, and then we have a 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2 and 3 and where it kind of falls down later on at the end. Fun tremolos, and this is written a little bit differently in the oboe and flute part than what the students might be used to seeing. So it's a good teaching opportunity. This is a much softer section here.
It's just building up.
Building. Yeah. That's all we're trying to do is just build. Yeah, build energy and momentum until we get to 57, which is one of my favorite parts of the whole entire piece. Horns.
That's a really cool horn part.
The horn and saxophone here are so important. They do a little jingle bells over everybody else. Balance in this section can be a little bit of a challenge just because it's fortissimo for the entire ensemble, and you really want to make sure you're layering what's important. That you're hearing what in your mind is most important. I like that horn part to come out.
Then we go back to the 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, in the upper woodwinds. And then.
And that's the little descending part there I was talking about.
Yeah. And then at 71, the horns get to have another little jingle bells moment with the trombone, euphonium part. Low reeds get to play along with them.
Snare drum switches to brushes here, and that color and texture change is really important. And it's a cool opportunity for them to get exposed to an implement that they may not be used to playing.
At 79, the woodwinds, upper woodwinds, get to have the Jingle Bells theme now. And then we go back to the Carol of the Bells theme with horn and some of those mid-voices. At 89, it's just like the beginning with the rhythmic brass.
A little fanfare.
Uh-huh, a little fanfare. And then at 97, we've got that same little like Waterfall upwards from the lows up to the highs, kind of like little bell tones. 105, we get another really strong, cool horn part. It's just kind of like the ending fanfare from them. Lots of excitement, like Lara said, and very thickly written all the way throughout. But it's, to me, it's very Saucedo and very high energy and just a lot of fun for this piece.
It's a great concert closer. I know we've talked a lot in this winter concert series about if you do elementary tours at this time, but it's a perfect concert closer, but it is also great for an elementary tour because the littles love the big yes. brass in your face. It's like as marching band as you can get yeah. for a winter concert. It's
so fun. Our next piece is Jingle Bells, arranged by Jay Dawson, and we both love this piece.
I think this is a winter concert staple that everyone needs to play at some point.
Shout out to Melody Ann Mallow for making me play it all those years ago.
It's 2.5 minutes long. It's in the key of F, but it has a ton of accidentals throughout. The key signature doesn't change, but the tonal center and key center changes several times throughout the piece. So this is one of those pieces that it's a great idea, again, to pre-mark to help those kids out.
And Laura and I spoke before we started this episode, just off the books, that we both think this is maybe not the best piece to play on an elementary tour because it's a little bit more like classical in nature. It sounds like Ives in some spots. It's just more colorful. It's just a great piece of music and it's wonderful and the kids like it, but it may not be the most like bombastic in your face type piece for a recruitment.
Yeah. And so, you know, some of the settings of the Jingle Bells theme, I don't think would be received as well right. by younger crowds. You need a little bit more mature listening palette.
Yes. So the piece starts out with upper woodwinds and sleigh bells and bells, and it's just kind of like...
And that tuning is not easy in the flutes.
And in the clarinets. And in the it's a lot. It's a mature piece of music, but it's wonderful. And then the full band comes in with some brass fanfare type accents at 5. We have a random 2-4 bar that comes in often throughout this piece. It happens a lot. So just know that there is a back and forth between 4-4 and 2-4 a little bit. Low voices get to come in, and then we get forte piano followed by the upper people, another 2-4 bar, and then the trumpets get to have the dashing through the snow part. And then we have a transition with flute, oboe, and sleigh bells going into 15. Where the trumpets get to have the melody and then interjections between. So it's always the trumpets that start off the melody, dashing through the snow, 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And
style. Bum, 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 bum. Style is so important. And style some of the counting so in yeah. this is a little trickier because it doesn't go exactly the way the melody goes. Yep. So again, just making sure that they're counting through tied notes really carefully.
Yeah, and like Laura just said, style is the most important thing on this mm-hmm. piece because it's going to just now shift. Going from 19 to 20, it's got a little bit more slurs in there and the saxophone gets this really slurry part, which is pretty. It's just so well written.
Throughout all of this, percussion plays less of a timekeeping role and way more of a color and texture role.
For sure.
So, and that actually can be challenging sometimes for percussionists because they're having to count lots of rests and they may be transitioning to different instruments throughout. So again,
and it could be an alignment issue for your band too they're not used to like playing eighth note staccato completely lined up with each other without like a snare drum behind them.
That's right.
Yep. At 23, we get our first sostenuto section. It's beautiful. It has a beautiful horn part and just like kind of like a little warm brass feature. Then the trumpets come in with da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and then the upper woodwinds. It's just so cute. Then we get a cute little like...
This is my personal favorite part.
I don't even know what to call this. Like a carousel or something.
It sounds like a toy box to me. Like a little music box that you would open up. That's what it's
set. That's my favorite part too.
It's my favorite part.
This clarinet part, so cute. And it's like, I think it's the clarinet 3 part, isn't it, that has the melody? And
well, it's not that they not have this the cool melody, little one, but the, like, two, three, four, and one.
Yeah,
two.
Sorry. Yeah. The like winding up the music box part along with tenor sax. It's super cute. And then, of course, the Jingle Bells part is in sax, flute, and oboe above them. It's just the woodwinds here and a little mallet percussion here and there. Then there's a big forte impact moment. Then the whole band has Jingle Bells together. Again, style is very important. And then we're leading into the next little section, have a transitional area with some fun. One and two and four and one. It's like a play on rhythm between tubas and the tenor voices here. And it's everybody's playing one and two and three and four, but at a different time. So timing here can be very
alignment
difficult.
Is really important.
Yeah.
And it's mimicked in the percussion as well. So just making sure they know who they play with in the percussion section.
Then, of course, we have Jingle Bells again at 40, now in the upper woodwinds again, and then they get a cute little
it sounds like almost like a quote from the toy soldiers part, nee, 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 and it's a muted trumpet.
Yes,
that's
it's
fun.
So cute. And then another 2-4 bar, and then you get this little and two and three and four and one and the horn part. That's really pretty, and it's just so fun. But this is a mature piece. There is not timekeeping in percussion. Everybody has to be feeling the one and two and the entire time so that everybody can align and keep the tempo together.
And it is not like it's structured in a way where you get the melody for an 8-bar phrase or a 16-bar phrase. It might be a little
one-measure
thing.
Or like half a measure.
Exactly. So
right here, at 45, the lows get one and two and three, and then upper woodwinds and four, and then the horns take over the trumpets
and one and two and three.
So it's literally just
it's
being
changing
passed
all the time. So it's
but
real
it's
important.
A great teaching piece where That's you can right. say like, okay, who has the melody here? Let's play this part. You tell me who we're going to listen for. Then we have a cool horn and
alto part.
I love
this section
at
measure
50
as well.
It's just this really pretty singingly pretty high up horn part going up to an F. But it's just beautiful. It's got little grace notes. Da, 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 da. The kids love it. It's so fun. And then we build it up with some more sustained style again to a grand pause. And then it's very like grand here.
This is the part that sounds like Ives a lot to me.
The
it's
chords
like
are,
the, yeah.
Yes, very colorful. Big chimes here too. Big percussion. This is the whole band playing Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way. Then we kind of come back down a little bit in nature and then build back up again to the very end with one, boom, horse, boom, oh, you know, it's like very exciting. Then we get the one and two and three and four and one and two and it goes up and up throughout the whole
band.
Yep. And then a nice long chord, kind of like the beginning. And then the whole band ends with three and four, a one. It is just so fun and like a staple, like Laura said.
Yes.
Just for a more mature group.
I absolutely love this setting of Jingle Bells. It's one of my all-time faves.
Yep. And our final difficult piece is Toboggan by Gerard Hall.
And this one is by far the most challenging that we're talking about today. It is 4.5 minutes long. It is in the key of B flat. It's in 3-4, and it will go to 4-4. Yeah, it changes.
Tempos, yes.
Lots of tempo transitions. Lots of range and technique required for all the players, upper brass specifically, some euphonium as well, and lots of woodwind technique as well.
Yep. Laura and I discussed that we also like this piece because it's very it's not holiday.
It's not religious Christmas. And it's not secular.
Yes,
it's just winter.
It's just winter. So it's meant to be programmatic. You're supposed to be imagining, you know, you're on a toboggan ride. You're taking in the wonder of the snow, of the mountains, the woodland creatures. There's all kinds of ways you can go with teaching your kids what to imagine in their minds when they're playing this piece. And they're definitely here for it.
You know, if you've listened to our podcast before, I'm a huge fan of imagery. If we can paint a mental picture with the music that we're creating, and I think that Gerard does a beautiful job of that with this piece. And so getting the kids to buy into it.
Yep.
I think is pretty cool.
It starts off with a bells solo at the beginning, and it's slow, and then we filter in small woodwind instruments with like flute and clarinet, and then the oboe comes in with a solo. It's also cued in trumpet, so if you don't have an oboe, you could have a trumpet play the solo, but the oboe is just beautiful here. You have a little bit of just some cool mallet parts underneath as well. It is not super brass heavy. We are just supposed to be listening and thinking about just the majesty of snow. It's very white and pure. That's kind of what I told my students to think of. It's just supposed to sound kind of like just wintry snow falling and things like that.
And I think if you were considering programming something lyrical for contest season, I love that this has some of those opportunities to kind of start that with your students, teaching them phrasing. Yes. And all of that, but it's not the whole piece.
Right.
It's moments of it. So it's kind of a nice transition if you're planning to do something lyrical in spring.
The French horns take over at 17 with a beautiful melody that I think just makes it sound very warm and beautiful. It does go up a little higher up to E flat here in the French horn.
The horns are so important in
this. Yeah, for sure. And then, like Laura mentioned, even Mr. Hall did a great job of writing in some phrase breath marks for you with eighth rests where everybody breathes together and comes back in. But there's no pulse in percussion. So it's definitely a great teaching piece where the students have to watch and we have to all move together and subdivide so that it stays together. Trumpets get to take over with this beautiful melody. And then again, another group breath mark with an eighth rest. And then we kind of build it up in the upper woodwinds leading into 33, where the trumpets get to have a really important part, and it's up real high.
And, you know, and I love the way, like, the technique is written it here. It lays really quite easy in everyone's fingers. And I love the trumpet part here just kind of soars above everything else.
For sure. And then the horns get to have another little cool part. It's not the melody, but it's something that you can have featured. The low part descends down as we're kind of transitioning. And then we're getting an accented moment and followed by a ritardando and the cool little and two and three and one and two. It's like a really cool horn part. Oh my gosh. So pretty. And then automatically, bam, you're in 4-4 and it's fast. And it's supposed to go 144 to 152. It's like you've started your toboggan ride down the mountain.
That's right.
We've
hauled it all the way up to the top of the mountain.
Yeah. I told kids that when we played it, like you're thinking of like riding the like ski lift up to the top of the mountain and you're just taking in all the grandeur and beauty at the beginning of the mountain and the scene before you. And then it's like, okay, here we go. It's time to go down the mountain. So it's very fun, but rhythmically, this is very difficult to put together because it's very, it's varied where you have 16th notes or eighth notes. You might be coming in on a downbeat, but you also might be coming in on an upbeat. So pre-marking parts again with rhythms, I think is pretty important to make sure it lines up really well.
And lots of independence. We haven't talked about this yet, but there are three trombone parts, two horn parts, three trumpet parts, three clarinet parts, two alto parts. So lots of independence
and piccolo. Flute which, one and two.
Yes.
And they're all important.
While you don't have to have piccolo, that's got
it's
some
moments.
It is. Yeah. It's got some moments that I think it really helps to have the color of the piccolo, but it requires a lot of independence on the parts.
Yep. Lots of good articulation, repeated articulations on the same notes in the brass here. So it's not difficult technique wise, but just articulation. You have to be set.
And we even have three,
a four, and one. Yeah. And it's up pretty high again in that first trumpet part. There's an alto saxophone solo. That's the toboggan guy, I guess, or, you know, going down on the alto saxophone toboggan. I don't know. Then like the upper woodwinds have these little moments of da 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 da. So it's like just, it sounds like you're, you know, zooming in and out of a mountain.
That's exactly
not in and out, but down a mountain.
How I pictured it. Yeah.
Yeah. Then at 54, we get the clarinets getting to play that alto saxophone part along with flute and oboe. So now it's like a woodwind feature. Some cool like mallet stuff happening underneath.
The mallet stuff is super important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the brass are just holding down the same little like pulse type stuff. Then the trumpet section, all three trumpet parts get to come in at 62 with a very technical part. They come in on three and a four and a one. And then it's one and two and three and four and one and two and three. So, except faster than what I just counted. So it goes by really quick. Yeah. Your trumpets need to be prepared for that. That's kind of more like a woodwind part in the grand scheme of things. Then it goes to the woodwinds and then it goes back to the trumpets. And then the lows get to have a little moment of 16th notes. We have a little 2/4 bar, and then at measure 70, the vibraphone and chimes get to have like this really cool moment. And then we're kind of just transitioning here to 74. This is where the horns get to have a very prolonged melody section. Again, it sounds very warm and introspective.
This is a little softer here. It feels a little, the it's vibe less, is a
less
little
texture.
Different.
Yeah.
Less and energy.
Yeah. So I kind of imagine
more
this
flowy.
Was the part where like the guy is on the toboggan ride and he's maybe like stopping to look around. And he's not so worried about his life anymore. Now he's just looking up and enjoying the view and just taking in the majesty of...
Maybe the trail got really wide.
Yeah.
Here, so you didn't have to worry so much
yeah.
about crashing.
I'm not
going to
hit a tree. Yeah. And then the flute and clarinet get to come in with the horn. The horn goes up all the way to a G here in the middle. So it is definitely not for
and pretty
young
exposed.
Band.
Yeah. And
they're
pretty exposed.
Basically alone. Yeah. The trumpets then get to take over, not quite as high as the horns here, but they get a little melodic part. This is all very sustained, not
feels
difficult
very soaring
rhythms
to
here.
Me.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. The lows get to transition us into 102, big like cymbal crash, and everybody has accents. And it's just a beautiful section. And then at 106, we go slower again to 78 on the metronome. This is where, like, I imagined the toboggan rider took a break. Like, pulled over to the side of the road and was like, okay, I'm taking a break. And maybe he sees little woodland creatures here. So it starts off with, like, a little clarinet part, clarinet one. Maybe that's, like, a little bird in the tree. Then the alto part has a solo. That was, like, a little, I don't know, wolf off to the side. I don't remember what I said when I taught the kids. But then there's a cute little flute and piccolo moment. I was like, oh, that's the cute little bunny hopping around. Even though they're not hopping. It's
she really wanted it to be a penguin, but there are no penguins
right,
on the mountain.
On the mountain.
I
wanted it to be a cute penguin. You could just make that up and say, like, it came in just for this song. But it's like a cute little, again, you're trying to teach your kids about lyrical music. There's not a pulse. So this is a good opportunity to watch. Then we all are going to come in and ritardando together as we transition back into the toboggan ride at 116. It's supposed to go even faster than before, above 160 if possible. So now, you know, he's the toboggan rider is definitely going downhill again and zooming in and out of different sections.
I even like that he's marked it frantically.
Right.
So like there are often times that I will tell students, hey, it sounds frantic. We don't want it to sound frantic. We want it to sound fast, but not frantic. You're going for frantic here.
Right. Absolutely. And it's just
and
like the beginning
that, by the way. Yeah.
With the rhythmic articulations in the brass and the woodwinds are doing lots of 16th note runs. And then there's an alto solo again at 124.
He does a great job of cueing all these solos and other instruments. So like
yes.
you have lots of options.
Yep. There's one little cool part with the euphonium where it gets to play along with alto and flute on the 16th notes. Then the upper brass get to have an entrance on the and a four. It's just a little bit of technique in there for them. Then at 134, the brass are hitting and the woodwinds are doing a big 16th note flourish here. It sounds very like grandioso, like we're at the very end of the piece. And then there's one measure of 3/4 and then there's a whip crack and everybody ends 2e and a one. It's like he made it to the end and slid in with the toboggan. It made the like ice shoot up, you know, it's just the coolest piece and the kids loved working on this piece.
This is definitely a challenging piece for that time of year. If you are talking about middle school,
grade three.
That's yeah. right. But this is perfectly appropriate if you've got a really strong middle school band or for a high school ensemble.
Yes, absolutely. And they would love it too because it gets a chance to feature every single instrument voice. And Mr. Hall's really good about that. making sure that everybody gets a moment of glory. It is just a beautiful, beautiful piece. So we hope one of these difficult winter concert pieces can make its way into your band hall in the future.
We appreciate you joining us for this special series on winter concert music, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of Band BFFs.